Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Aroma Japan podcast. It is me, Ronald, and I am joined by my co-host, Hannah.
Still the co-host, even though I was threatened to get kicked off last month. Ha
Actually, I think it was like the month before that happened. I don't know. It all
ha
kind of blends together.
Yep.
So we are back this month and we are covering the month of November 2020. And unlike October, where I said there wasn't a lot of things, there actually are a lot of things this month because this month is like the last full month of the year because like December kind of like is the month where people start thinking about the year in general. So the last month
Yep.
that's like fully its own entity is November.
Da-dun.
So the big story of November, one that particularly affected Hag Twitter and a lot of like international J-pop fans, was the impending demise of AVEX.
Impending or basically ongoing.
So basically, the first thing that happened was that there was a story that came out in the beginning of November, and it said that AVEX was asking 100 employees age 40 and above to voluntarily retire due to the company cutting its budget. So AVEX lost 3.2 billion yen. So far in 2019, as of September 2019, AVEX had lost 3.2 billion yen. The year before, they had lost 1.7 billion yen. And this is basically due to COVID-19 going and basically ending all concerts and events, which is how the company makes so much money from its performers.
And like, it's actually really interesting that you mentioned that they lost money last year, right? Because last year there wasn't any impact from COVID. There wasn't like anything in particular.
So I thought about this myself. I was just like, well, why they lose money? And then so a friend of mine was just like, well, maybe they lost money because they were still on the high of Namie retiring.
Really?
Yeah. So it's kind of just like you have to think like if you had like this big boon of money coming from Namie retiring, and then suddenly there was no retirement happening, you're gonna have a decrease. Like remember the IRAJ when they said like there was a decrease and like it was because like fact that like SMAP or I think it was either SMAP or Namie or both didn't have like million selling CDs. So if you're like perfectly fine and then you suddenly have this like mountain of like retirements, it's gonna boost sales, but then like it's gonna go back to normal like it was before the retirements, and it's gonna look like a decrease.
Yeah, I remember because it was, I think that might have been the year that AKB stopped releasing five singles. And so when you lose the fifth single and an album from AKB, you're talking about like 700,000 copies times 30, plus however many millions they tend to sell with each one.
So that was the first AVEX news that they were trying to get these people who were 40 and above to retire. And it was about 100 people. And then the next story that came out was the fact that AVEX was looking to sell its headquarters in Tokyo and rent the money and rent the building back. So basically, they just needed some liquidity and they were going to sell the building, which they had just finished building in 2017. It was an 18-story building. They were going to sell it and then they were going to rent space in it. So therefore they would be able to have some money. So that was the second thing that happened. And then the big thing that kind of like everyone was kind of just like, what the fuck about was when AVEX basically said they were going to start cutting acts. So somebody that worked at AVAX, they said this: while it is true LDH is Exile and Johnny and Associates Snowman are under AVAX, sales for other acts are low. In the past, AVAX had popular acts such as Komuro Family, which would have included like TRF, Globe, Hitomi, Namayamuro, Ayumi Hamasaki, and Kota Kumi that could keep the company afloat, but the company failed to nurture its next generation. AVAX's business model became out of date in the age of the internet, which is something that everybody who has been following Japanese music has said for the better part of the last decade now. I remember when I interviewed Taku from Implo in 2015, and I asked him, I was just like, it seems like AVAX is just throwing everything at the wall and seeing what sticks. And he was like, it can seem like that to outsiders, but AVAX is the company that is all about taking risk. Because if you remember, AVAX started so many trends over the course of the past couple of decades. Like they were the reason for like the TK boom. They were the reason for like J Urban, female soloists, K-pop. Like all those things pretty much were like
Tied
launched
with AVAX, yeah.
through AVAX.
I mean, like, okay, so I know you're gonna be like, anime fans aren't real J-pop fans, but AVAX is actually a very big reason why the anime fandom and music is as tied as they are right now. Before the 2009 boom, a lot of anime fans actually discovered J-pop through music and not just in
Well, this was well the
national
time
scene.
well the time you're talking about is the time back before Anisong acts were like the way they are now. This is back when people like IU and Kota Kumi and BoA were all doing anime songs.
Yeah, so that's what I mean. Like before 2009, before like the crystallization of like the Anisong act, right? You literally had AVAX buying out all of the opening and ending slots for these like mega popular animes and having all of their divas on it. And so AVAX really did see a lot of trends happening before they happened. And all of a sudden, around like 2003, that just stopped.
I wouldn't say 2003.
I
I
would
think.
say 2003, because 2003 is when all their bets paid off, and then they stopped taking bets after that point.
I would say not 2003 because K-pop.
No, so their K-pop relationship happened in the 90s and it started paying off after 2003. Right? You had
It didn't
Rhythm
really pay
Zone.
off to like, I mean, like it didn't really start paying off till I would say like till Toho
No, but I'm saying
Shinki.
that like they made the bets way before, right? It takes about like 6 years to return on an investment in the entertainment world. So they made the K-pop bit. The creation of SM Entertainment was like towards the end of the 90s, right? That's when AVAX made their big loan. And then that SM Entertainment bet first pays off a little bit with BoA, who debuts in 2000. And then it really pays off with Toho Shinki, right? But
Can you talk a little bit about this investment thing that some people may not know about it?
yeah, so back when Korea really, so you had like proto K-pop under the dictatorship period, but then you kind of had a liberalization of entertainment when the dictatorship fell. And so in the 90s is when you see a lot of some of like the big three agencies really be formed then. A lot of the kind of mid-tier agencies were formed a little bit afterwards, but one of the big three, SM, actually went to Japan to receive a seed loan investment. And that's when AVAX decided to take a bet on K-pop and invest very heavily in SM entertainment.
And part of this
So,
is why you had BoA on SM and why
exactly.
AVEXX are distributed in Korea on SM.
This is like really where like the idea that the two are very tied together really starts, because AVEX and really their parent company Burning decided, hey, like this is how we can pay off everything, or like this is how we can invest in a new market. And before China, before Indonesia was Korea. So they decided to take a gamble with SM Entertainment. Clearly they're very used to taking this sort of gamble, because later on they actually gamble around that 2000 to 2003 period with Rhythm Zone, right?
Yeah, that was basically their way of Rhythm Zone was basically their company to capitalize on J Urban, because the first act on Rhythm Zone was J Soul Brothers, who eventually turned into EXILE, and the second was Inflow, because they really made a point to me last year to say we were like the second act on Rhythm Zone after J Soul Brothers, because they were just like that's how close we are connected to LDH. Because Inflow's under LDH now. So they were just like, yeah, we started out together on Rhythm Zone and now we're all at LDH. But continue.
But yeah, like
Oh, and
that's,
Kodakumi too. Kodakumi ended up being on Rhythm
yeah.
Zone too.
And it was actually really funny. Ryo Sneak actually linked me the new like AVEX fight against Hypnosis Mike. And one of the things about, I need to look up what it's
Is that the
called.
Kodakumi song?
Yeah, the new Kodakumi song.
Somebody sent that to me the other day, and I was just like, what is this?
And
Oh, pause
when
for a
I
second, too. Pause for a second, too. My friend that sent me the Kodakumi video, he also sent me this video of Kodakumi being interviewed by a VTuber.
Really?
Yeah, like she's sitting in a studio talking to a screen. And it's like some like VTuber basically interviewing her.
No, but like I saw Koda Kumi in that song, and all I could think of was Hypnosis Mike should have been AVEX. You look at who Hypnosis Mike is referencing, and it's all AVEX acts.
Yeah, so the one thing I think about when I think of AVEX is that basically the idol boom happened, and instead of them getting their own successful idol act, they just started doing a bunch of leasing. So they already had Kiss My Foot 2 and V6 from Johnny's. They got SKE48 from AKS. They had Toho Shinki S from SM from K-pop. And then they also they formed YJEX with YG because of the fallout over basically there was a falling out between SM and AVEX over the fact that like SM wanted JYJ to no longer continue in Japan, but AVEX was just like, no, they're gonna continue. So that caused SNSD and SHINee to not go to AVEX. They went to other labels. And then so AVEX was just like, well, we're going to pick up YG. And so they ended up getting Big Bang and 2NE1, which completely flopped 2NE1 because no
In
one want
Japan.
in Japan, no one likes Girl Crush concept in Japan. So like, it's just not going to work. Like just how like Blackpink is a flop.
In
So
Japan.
is in Japan. So is 2NE1. It's like, I don't know why they thought Blackpink would
You
work.
have to look like twice, essentially,
Yeah.
to do well in Japan. And we're going to talk about this a lot more in the December episode, but clearly, Japan fucking loves their sweet acts.
Actually, we're going to talk about it later in this episode,
Creepy.
but basically the other thing too is that so basically when the idol boom died and now you have this pivot towards like bands and singer-songwriters, that really is not AVEX's wheelhouse. Like, has there ever been someone that's on AVEX that was like a Yunezu Kinchi or an Aimyon or Hoshino Gen or a back number or a King Gnu.
Yeah, there really hasn't. They're
Because
really about the producer. Like,
basically
to be.
Avex is all about the producer and all about like rhythm-based music. And
And
so
they're actually like, it actually still baffles my mind that they completely missed out on the idol boom. Because they had Dream 5. Dream 5 was actually really successful.
Because of Yokai Watch.
Yeah, not just
Oh.
Yokai Watch, but like, you literally had. I mean, a lot of IU and Kota Kumi fans are going to fight me over this, but they were idols at the beginning of their careers. And like, there's no reason why they should have missed out.
Oh my God, I completely forgot the biggest like connection to Avex as far as idols was LDH. So you had like EXILE
Yeah.
and Damae J Soul Brothers.
And E-Girls. E-Girls was big.
E-Girls was on another, was E-Girls on Avex?
Were they?
I'm blanking on that right now. I'm blanking on if E-Girls was part of Avex. But so basically what
Yeah,
happened
the
is
rhythm zone.
other rhythm zone. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So basically, what was said is that Avex also represents models and actresses, and they said that some of them are going to go. But basically, as far as like the musicians, eventually the contract will be canceled. It's inevitable due to there being no hit songs. So if you don't have a hit song, there's really no point in keeping you. So people were very concerned about this. And I personally thought about it more from a point of just like not them dumping their lease to acts, but more them dumping people that they manage. So someone that's like, so for example, like Daichi Miura, who's underneath Rising, or BoA, who's underneath SM, I wouldn't think they would be at as much risk as someone like IU or Kota Kumi because they're managed by AVEX. Like Kota and IU are completely in-house AVEX acts. Whereas like someone randomly said, like, do you think Kiss My Foot 2 is gonna get dropped by Avex? And I'm like, honestly, Kiss My Foot 2 is probably the number two
Hell
act.
no.
They're probably the number two act on Avex right now. Because I
Yeah.
bet everything that like right now Avex's number one act is Snowman.
Oh yeah. Oh hell yeah. Like there is no way. Okay. I would actually
Like
say.
Snowman just did 900,000 plus in their first week for their new single.
Yeah. And like when you think about it, obviously, okay, so I think the real reason why they didn't feel like they were in as much danger as they actually were was due to, and this actually all kind of ties back to our beginning conversation, it was because of Namie. Remember the big breakup that she had with Rising, where she was just like, you guys are working me to death. And she basically fired Rising and went to AVEX.
Well, she had her own like I think it was like Dimension Point or something.
Yeah, but the main thing was that her concerts were incredibly successful in Japan. Like literally, she would literally sell out just like stadiums and domes left and right, and she would just continue to do this. And that was actually her major contention point with Rising, that they would just keep on having her turn out like tour after tour after tour, and she's like, I'm tired of this. And so she went from 5 tours a year to like 1 tour a year. But that was only 2 years because in her second year after, in her like second or third year after leaving Rising Point, she's like, I'm gonna retire. And that was like a massive spectacle of a tour in and of itself.
And release as far as like the
Yeah.
finally, and then also like the dome tour, like each dome tour, like it was a five dome tour, and each dome had its own like DVD set.
Yeah, and the DVD set was actually really big too. Like, you're talking what, like 20, 40,000 copies per?
Mm-hmm.
That was big.
So basically with AVEX, what we had was we had just like they're asking people to retire early, they're selling their building, they're dropping acts. And then the first act that really was kind of just like people were like, oh, this is actually happening, was Moo Moon. Because on the last day of November, they said, oh, starting tomorrow, we will be independent. So it's kind of just like they said it was a mutual decision and that they wanted to go and like regain their energy they had when they debuted. But knowing everything we know about AVEX's current financial situation, it really raises doubts if that's true. And then I thought about it and actually like looking through other announcements made at AVEX over the course of the past like month, you also had, in addition to Moo Moon, Shinjiro from AAA decided that he was retiring from entertainment because AAA is on their way out. They decided that they were going to go and go on hiatus. And then Shinjiro's just like, everyone else is going to do a solo career, and I'm not. I'm going to be a regular person. So it makes me think, like, is AAA, did they know the writing was on the wall at AVEX? And they were kind of like, hey, let's just break up and do our own things. And then like Shinjiro, like, was he kind of just like, hey, I'm not selling and AVEX cut me? Is that what that was?
I also really want to wonder, like, what is the logic behind dropping some of the acts that they've decided to drop,
Well, it's
right?
not, well, no one knows for sure if they dropped these acts. It's only speculation. So right now, the only act that is like noticeably on AVEX that is like not going to be there or is not there currently is Moo Moon, who decided to go independent, and AAA, who decided to go on hiatus. And then they all have solo careers in AAA, except for Shinjiro, who decided that he is going to become a regular person. But
So I just want to understand, like, how are they deciding?
I don't know. But in a related company, well, some people see these companies as being completely separate, but let's be real, they are very closely linked. They may even just be the same company at the end of the day. But also there were some changes within LDH because E-Girls, they announced, well, we already knew the Eagles was going to disband, but there was some doubt about whether they really would disband in December because there was kind of like they were going to have like one final tour. And LDH basically said, hey, your final tour, you guys wanted to see your fans one last time. That's not happening. You guys are going to be done at the end of the year. Bye. So it's kind of just like, E-Girls cut by LDH, which is part of AVEX. And then also Atsushi from EXILE decided that he was done with EXILE. So it's just like, okay. What is with all of these like changes within the acts, like the dropping of the acts, the leaving of the groups? Like, what is all of this that's going on within these AVEX acts and closely linked AVEX acts?
And I almost want to wonder if something bigger is happening within Burning. And the reason why I say that is because so it was highly speculated that Burning either assisted or was heavily tied to the creation of AKS. That's AKB48's like parent company that got renamed earlier this year to Venosylum. And when the NGT scandal happened, I literally told people, you have to wait. Like, the types of corporate changes that need to happen will take some time. And we actually found out this year that every single like fragment of AKB48, right? So that's HKT, SKE, NMB, whatever, actually got spun off. Like, they're actually having royalty issues between the companies right now when they do each other's songs. That's how disconnected they are. And I almost wonder if they had to take on that sort of extreme drastic fire sale of the company because something is happening within burning.
I don't know. But something else that was said by someone that works at AVEX is that the people that are being asked to leave voluntarily, it's not as if they can just like go to like another label and work there because of the issues of COVID and there being no concerts, a lot of other labels are in a similar situation. Maybe not as bad as AVEX because they still have popular acts to like pick up the slack with their sales, but everyone is affected due to the fact that like that big chunk of money that comes from concerts and events is no longer happening. And another article that came out from Reuters in November was one that was talking about how get ready for the revenue to drop next year when the report comes out about this year because there are less CDs being bought. Because basically, there are no in-store events because the events are closed. There are no handshake events. There are no lotteries for concert tours because there's no tours.
And the other thing that is really important to realize, I only realized this when I saw Sony Japan putting up. So today we're recording, it is December 9th. And over the past couple of days, anime Twitter has gone insane because the entirety of Sony's entire collection that was not previously on international Spotify got put up on international Spotify. This has obviously made a lot of people happy,
Yeah, I've
but
been basically seeing it all day on Twitter. People are just like, all of Seiko, all of Akina, Nakayama Miho, Tommy, February 6th and Heavenly 6, Ami Suzuki, Bilia, Chara, Yuki, Judy and Mary. It's like all Crystal K. It's like all up
But
suddenly.
you also have to kind of think about it from a business angle. What prompted them to do this? And it's clearly everyone's lost money because of COVID. We're all stuck at home. So what else are you going to make money off of if not
That's
like your entire back catalog?
another thing that the Reuters article said too, is the fact that just like because of the fact that like people can't go to the stores and buy CDs, and there's not really like that compulsion to go buy a CD because you're not getting a handshake event, you're not going to go get it signed at an event in the store, that people are extreming now. And as we've seen, streaming records have been broken time and time again this year. Due to just like the intense amount of streams that are happening.
But at the same time, it takes so many streams to get the same amount of revenue that you would get from one sale. And that's not even thinking about the fact that prior to COVID, your average person that goes into a store and buys a CD is typically actually buying closer to two to three CDs for whatever bonuses come with it, right? They're not actually buying for the music itself. They're buying for something else. It's usually a lottery,
Well, the thing
like an
is though is that
event.
I take issue with that because it, like the report you said sounded kind of sketchy to me.
Yes, Oricon Densu is sketchy.
It
Okay.
sounded sketchy because the thing is though is that you're not gonna say that like someone that's going and buying a like I don't know a Temple CD is gonna have the same behavior as someone that's buying an AKB48 CD.
So generally, when you're buying, the reason why you'd buy a physical copy over a digital copy, especially in a day and age where the majority of people don't even own CD players anymore, like CD players are no longer standard, right? You actually have to go out of your way to buy a CD player. The only reason why you would buy a physical album in this day and age, generally, if you're a member of the general populace that does not own a CD player, doesn't own like a vinyl player or anything, is not an audiophile, is because of something else. And it's usually because of bonuses.
But there's a difference between like wanting to just buy and also buying three copies on average, like you were saying.
Yeah, and this was taking an average even across genres, right? So you should still have, this was like a median. And an average that the median number was still 3-2. And so the reason why this is super important to focus on is that that means that typically you were getting close to $60 to $90 per person per pop. Whereas
Now
now
you're
on a
not.
stream, yeah, like I even checked my own streaming records. Maybe this is because of how much I've listened to over the year, right? But at most, maybe I'd stream a song, what, 50 times this year, 60 times this year. If you look at any conversion metric, that's not even a single CD.
But actually, this reminds me of something that a friend sent me. Like the BBC had an article that came out this week, and the British government is doing an inquiry into royalties from streaming because basically the headline of the article was there are people who are like hit songwriters right now who are driving Ubers because of the fact that just like they make so much, they make so little money, like songwriters. They make so little money from
Yeah.
streaming that like they're basically Uber drivers who happen to write songs on the side.
It's really sad, but unfortunately, the law states that streaming is much closer in terms of format to a radio station where you can actually pick what you're listening to.
Actually, in the UK, they said it's like a sale rather than a radio play, because if it was a radio play, they would get more. Maybe it's just a UK thing, but they were saying like if they counted it as more like a radio play, the artists and the songwriters and everybody would get more royalties, but because they count it as a sale, they actually get less.
Oh, so that's probably a difference between the UK and the US. Because in the US, it's counted closer to like a radio play, I think. And so this is going to be a really, really interesting argument because that's going to change how revenue streams work. But yeah, unfortunately, the conversion numbers just suck. In
Yeah.
Japan, to get to the equivalent of one album sale, like one digital download, even, you'd have to have 1,250 streams. No one listens to a song 1,250 times.
Well, according to J-pop fans, they think that BTS fans are doing that.
I mean, okay,
Shit, I
so,
was the one that brought up BTS this time.
yep, you did. I'm in the top 3%, and I think I played on average for their songs like maybe 15 times per song, right? I'm in the top 3% according to Spotify.
But CD sales are going down. They're going to be down, so expect that
Yep.
next year. But the funny thing, going back to AVEX, the funny thing is that while all this AVEX news is coming out, oomphs on Twitter are getting these emails saying that their Kota Kumi purchases for her new mini albums that came out last week. They're getting emails saying they're being canceled because they can't ship them overseas. And I'm just looking at this and I'm just like, oomph's packages with their Kota Kumi CDs are being canceled, and AVEX is wondering why it's in trouble.
Yeah, I mean,
You have
like,
people who are literally buying your music physically and importing it, and you're just like, no, sorry.
this is when you really have to wonder, like, what the hell they're thinking. Because in a normal year, I'd be like, okay, I understand that you have label distribution agreements, but I mean, come on, like, you are on your dying breath. You need to understand that, like, when you're on your dying breath, you can't choose who buys your stuff.
Well, I think they would have been better if they had let fans overseas buy those albums, because
Exactly.
the preliminary numbers for Kota Kumi's new mini albums, it looks like she's about to get chopped. Look like she may be the next person packing her bags and leaving AVEX headquarters, because that
But
thing
why
is.
Kota Kumi even? Like, my Seiko album came through just fine.
I don't know, because like as you can see, Sony is actually being nice to us because Seiko has her whole discography on Spotify right now. But the Kota Kumi mini albums, Basically, they're supposed to enter Oricon at number 12 with like less than 7,000 copies sold. I'm like, you're not even going to be a top 10 release. I mean, I know it was a tough week because like you had Yumi Matsutoya and Mr. Children releasing albums last week, but like you could have at least gotten number 10. At least you could have at least gotten top 10, but like number 12 and you can't even crack 7,000 right now. You're about to get dropped from AVEX, sorry. And you're also like sharing songs with like the new SM girl group aespa or whatever.
It's just really confusing because, like, I actually see this sort of, I want to call it kind of like a hollowing out attitude. It's not just with AVEX. SM Entertainment's also suffering it. And I'm going like, what the hell? You guys literally produce some of the top producers in the field, and you cannot come up with a hit. I don't understand.
Oh, and speaking of hollowing out, somebody today found my tweets about AVEX from the beginning of November, and they messaged me saying like, "Hey, Ronald, did you hear about how the members of Intersection, which is AVEX's mixed band composed of four guys who are half Japanese and half white American, did you hear that like the members are now going to be on a Chinese survival series?" And I'm just like, oh my God, like you guys have millions of views on YouTube. Like, I don't, okay, Intersection is kind of like fakey, where it's just like you have this group, they're very international friendly, yet you don't promote them
They're
overseas.
speaking perfect English.
Well, the members of Intersection all grew up in the US.
Exactly.
So it's just like
Where is
they're
my promotion?
exactly, where's the promotion? Like, okay, you have this group, like Intersection sing, their songs are all in English. So like, why aren't you promoting them to the overseas market? But then also too, you're not promoting them in Japan. So where are you promoting them? It's the same thing with Fakey, just like you have these very like also femme, like you have these like very like international friendly acts that you do nothing with. You don't promote them in Japan, you don't promote them overseas, and they're just like existing. And like Kazuma from Intersection, I'm just like, boy, you need to get it together because you went from being a men's non-no model to going to Harvard to leaving Harvard after like a couple of months to go be in this flop AVEX boy group. Speaking of which, friend of the show, Patrick St. Michael interviewed Intersection for the Japan Times earlier this year. And the thing that has stuck with me all year about AVEX is Intersection said, well, when we were talking to AVEX, someone at AVEX said to us, what do young people like today? And I'm just thinking to myself, isn't that the job of someone at AVEX to know that? That's a job that someone at the label
Yeah.
should have. It's called what is it called? A&R?
Just
R&D?
like, yeah, like
Artists
it
and
should be
Repertoire
employee
at Research and
appreciated.
Development? Like, you should know market research. Like, Nishino Kana can get market research to write her songs, and you can't even get market research to go and know how to promote your acts.
It's just so baffling because I don't understand where it all kind of went south, right? Like, you literally had a company that was driving Japanese entertainment. I mean, to a very, very real extent, they were driving Asian entertainment.
Because like the thing is though, is that if you go back to like 2000, I would say 2000 to like 2005, outside of Utada and Visual K, it was all AVEX. Namie, BoA, Kodakumi came in, IU.
I mean, this is where I pull like I know obscure AVEX acts from years ago, but Allen
Oh
was
my
the
God.
first mainland Chinese act to make it overseas. She was one of the real first ones.
The Tibetan whale.
Yeah. Like she somehow they managed to get her on the main theme song for literally the first major Chinese blockbuster hit. They were
And then,
really on their A game.
oh, M-Flo, who you
Oh
ditched me,
yeah, Enflow was huge.
who you like, you were supposed to see them last year, but you ditched me. I remember that.
For K-pop.
So last year, this one here was supposed to come to LA. We were gonna go to we were gonna AX, and then they were having Oda Quest, and we were gonna go. And then she like ditched me because KCON was happening in New York the same weekend. So, but
I'm
like, yeah,
sorry, Sakura is cute.
like inflow, and I'm just like, you literally had like, you had no competition because J-pop, I mean, K-pop was just not even like a thing, not even a thing. Like the biggest thing you had in K-pop at the time was BoA, and she was basically like with you.
Yeah, K-pop wasn't even a term then, right? It wasn't like a real term that people used when like AVEX was at its core. And you kind of have to wonder, like, how did it get to the point where AVEX is clearly copying something that is referencing their acts, right? Rhythm Zone was the first of the J Urban groups, right? Like, it's only after Rhythm Zone is formed that you get like Orange Range and all of those like rap groups, right? The soft rap groups that people like. I forget what
Wait,
the what
isn't Ketsumeshi on AVEX?
are they?
I think they are.
I need to also see because there's also just like.
Oh my God. And to add insult to injury, when all of this drama with AVEX is happening, AVEX decides to start sending out like these like little press releases about just like, listen to our idol groups. And it's like Zock and like was Suta, and I'm just like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, the people that like AVEX, the people that are AVEX fans, they are not fans because of your stupid idol groups that no one cares about.
I mean, there are some fans now, right? But like at the end of the day, when you really think about it, it's really a question of like, what happened? Like somehow AVEX went from being literally predicting trends, right? Like creating them out of thin air to now they're barely hanging on. They couldn't even predict Hypnosis Mike, which should have been their biggest A game.
Maybe Sony will go and buy AVAX.
And that is another major thing because, like, clearly Sony's not doing that well either.
Well, we just have to wait and see what happens with that. But going into a, another company that is Johnny and Associates. So the big news with Johnny and Associates for November was that Yamashita Tomohisa left the company.
Yet another one.
It's another one. This is a continual train. I think I don't know how many stories I've written over the past couple of years about the fact that he was going to leave, and now he's finally gone. And the thing that's different now is that by time he said he was gone, he was already in Canada shooting a movie of Kevin Hart. So it's just like the old days of just like you were a Johnny and then you kind of like left the company and you kind of like fell into obscurity are kind of like not really as strong as they were back in the day today.
Yeah. And like, you also have to wonder, right? Like, I almost feel like Johnny's is simultaneously losing their media relevance, but trying their best at the same time.
I definitely see that. I mean, one of the big things that, even outside of music, I say one of the big ways that Johnny's has lost its media relevancy isn't music, it's dramas and
Oh,
movies.
yeah. And variety shows.
Because all of these young actors that have come out in the past couple of years, like Makinu, Yoshizawa Reel, Sudamasaki, they're all getting roles that Johnny's would have gotten 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah. And they're getting very, very big roles too. Like, I think the biggest one that probably slipped was actually probably Hoshino Gen. You would
Oh.
not have seen an act like Hoshino Gen pop up if Johnny's was at their full peak.
Because of like his whole drama thing.
Yeah, his triple hit thing, like triple threat thing. His real triple threat thing, right? He's able to act, sing, and well, he's not really a dancer, but like, he has other
He
skills.
does little perfume dances and they're cute.
Okay.
They have the same choreographer. Oh, I know what Gen's real triple threat is.
What?
The way he
His
says
radio
fuck.
hosting?
The way he says fuck. Oh my God.
Okay.
Pause. But like a year ago in November, we went to go see Hoshino Gen. So it's been like officially a year since we saw Hoshino Gen. And
Yep.
he said fuck. And like I just remember like the 8-year-old sitting next to me. It was kind of just like, I don't think he spoke English because we were basically the only like non-Japanese people there. So I think him saying fuck a bunch on stage was like lost most of the audience. But yeah. But as far as like Yamapi goes, he's really like trying to do this like international career. Like he had that Hulu show earlier this year. But one thing I think about is that let's just say he tries to really become an international star and they go and ask him about just like his past. I don't think it's gonna look good that he left Johnny's because he was like drinking and sleeping with underage girls.
Oh yeah, that is not gonna go over so well. And I mean, let's also face it, like I feel like Johnny's themselves have realized that they no longer can afford to cover these kind of things up.
You mean like basically the poor leadership from the top of just like getting involved with like time and time again with like these kind of like acts of sexual violence? Not
Sexual violence.
necessarily violence because like
I know, like
I'm not saying that he beat the girl or like raped her or anything. Like maybe she was cons maybe
statutory rape is
yeah,
still.
maybe she like maybe the girl like wanted to do it, but still he's an adult and he should have known better than to like
Yep.
sleep with a minor.
Exactly. And like, when you think about it, right? It still takes money to cover up a story like that.
Well, they didn't want to spend the money because the story got out.
Yeah. And so I feel like they're just saying, like, we can no longer do this.
But the person that this really sucks for though is Kamenashi Kazuya because basically they were going to like have like their whole like Seishun Amigo
Come back.
come back. Like they had an album ready that they postponed due to COVID. They had a tour they were planning. They had all this press, and then it's just like, I'm leaving the company. And then so now it's just like, okay, so I guess we're not going to be Seishun Amigos anymore.
No more amigos for you.
Like, is the album even going to come out? Like, there are some people who are just like, oh, it will still come out and they're going to have a tour still. And I'm just like, I highly doubt that. Like, ex-Johnnies and like current Johnnies mixing together. When does that happen?
Yeah, and
Actually, it
I
happened on
only.
the cover of actually someone pointed out that it does happen. It happened on the cover of the issue of GQ that has the GQ Men of the Year.
For this year?
Yeah.
But that shows you how much power they've lost. In the past, that would have never happened.
Well, the thing is, though, is that the person that was on the cover was he stopped being a Johnny like in the end of the 80s. So basically, the cover of this one has Six Tones, Snowman, and then also Motoki Masahiro, who I have his photo book. He's naked in it.
Oh my God.
I have his photo book, but basically it's like someone pointed out, was like, oh yeah, you never really see like old Johnnies and new Johnnies together. But I guess like when you're a Johnny that hasn't been a Johnny in like over 30 years, I guess you can like view of old new Johnnies for a moment.
But
But
it also kind of says something, though, that like we've only seen this basically, like you and I can only remember one instance of this. One. And it's a very recent thing.
Like I just thinking of just like Johnny, I'm trying to think of like Johnnies who left the company and who were successful. Well, Masahiro is one example because he's still like a successful actor. But I think like as far as like music, the only one that I can think of that actually has had success that's after the company. Actually, there are two. There are two. There's Taka from 1OK Rock,
Who is never on TV?
who's never on TV, but one that is always on TV, Hiromi Go.
Ah, that's true. But it took both of them like years to get to that point.
But speaking of taking years to get to a point, something else that happened in November is that Johnny and Associates launched a channel for JStorm on YouTube.
Finally.
So you can now see videos by Kinky Kids, Kan Johnny 8, Heisei Jump, Johnny's West, Arashi and KAT-TUN on YouTube, and it's just like, what the hell? Like, I think everyone knows by now that I'm kind of like a low-key Heisei Jump fan.
Low key.
I was very excited that Heisei Jump videos are now on YouTube.
So let's also point out, though, right? And I'm just reminded of this because of Johnny's monopolistic activities. Do you remember the lawsuit? The lawsuit by Diet against LDH and a couple of other agencies. I'm almost wondering if that lawsuit is both tied to AVEX and to Johnny's losing a lot of power.
Are you, is this the one where you're talking about how they can't go and block former talents from
Yeah, and they
pursuing
had
their
to pay a
careers?
monetary fine.
Yeah. I remember that because like people were saying just like, oh, this is how you really know they lost power because the government is basically coming in and saying like, hey, your business practices that you've been doing for like ever, yeah, they're not going to fly anymore.
And they literally did it on the eve of Johnny Kitagawa's death. Like the moment he passed away, they do this ruling.
They didn't even like wait until he had his disco ball funeral.
Yeah, it was literally like days after his funeral, his death announcement.
But speaking of like Johnny's getting dragged a little. So Arashi is still on their international promo blitz for some reason. I don't know.
Why?
I don't know. We've discussed this in a previous episode. We do not know why Arashi is doing all of this.
I love you, Arashi, but you don't deserve this right now.
Personally, I think that this money would be better spent promoting
Give me 6 pounds.
stones, not six tones. Because someone last episode you said six tones, and someone like went and wrote in the comments, Ronald, you did not tell Hannah that it's not six tones, it's stones. So stones,
Six
stone,
pounds.
snowman, but honestly, I just want King and Prince international promo.
Okay, I'm aiming low because at least snowmen and stones are on YouTube, right? So there's like hope.
King and Prince is on YouTube. Not all their videos, but there are some videos of King and Prince that are on YouTube officially.
Some.
But Matsumoto John from Arashi was interviewed by Variety magazine, and he said something which pissed off a lot of K-pop fans. He said, "Johnny created so many boy bands in his 60 years of working and left an indelible mark, not just on the entertainment industry of Japan by bringing it up to a global standard, but also in Asian pop culture overall, even outside of Japan, visible in the rise of the Asian pop generation. What you're currently seeing now with non-Japanese groups as well, I mean, as well, all really found its roots in the foundational work that Johnny did back in the 1960s. K-pop fans were not happy about this because, BTS paved the way, and no one else has done anything else for K-pop except for BTS because they paved the way. When really, someone that had their 20th anniversary last week was BoA, and that's the person who really paved the way for K-pop. Let's
And
be
it's really funny because domestically in Korea, the entire nation was like, yeah, he's right. Like, what? Why are international fans mad? He's
So,
right. He's so right. I mean, there's also the fact that Arashi themselves are actually popular in Korea. Let us set the record straight on this. Boys Over Flowers was incredibly popular in Korea. It was incredibly popular throughout Asia. I've mentioned this on Twitter before, but the extent to which that comic book series was popular throughout the entire continent was to the point where mainland China literally had a law targeting the Taiwanese drama adaptation because it was that popular.
So I did go and post some Korean netizen responses to Jun saying that, and basically it was all just like, "Oh, they're ugly." And
Oh, they are ugly. I mean,
I'm like,
compared to K-pop.
"Really? That's the most you can say is that they're ugly."
Yeah. Compared to K-pop, I get it.
At least SMAP had good visuals with good songs. Arashi doesn't even hold a candle.
Yeah, SMAP was a lot more popular too. Kimutaku was a big deal.
So Arashi got dragged a little by K-pop fans for basically saying the truth.
I mean, like,
Like there's this really big thing with a lot of K-pop fans, how like a lot okay, a lot of K-pop fans who are J-pop fans, which don't really exist that much anymore because a lot of those fans have left K-pop. They acknowledge the connection between the two, but a lot of people who literally got into K-pop off the back of like a BTS or a Blackpink, they do not want to acknowledge anything that K-pop is related to J-pop. I mean, like even like their fan chants that they love
yeah, that's a
are
J-pop thing.
Japanese. Because if you go
Well,
back and
it's
you,
not Japanese. It's definitely a derived tactic
yeah.
from J-pop idols.
Yeah. Because go back and like watch those videos from the 80s and like that's what you hear.
There's also the fact that, like, people need to realize Korea is a country that absolutely loves Japanese entertainment. Right?
Uh-oh. Really
Like,
rocking the boat here, Hannah.
I mean, I say this as somebody who goes back to Korea often. Like, there are animes in Korea, as in, like, that anime store that has a mega chain in Japan that runs like yearly anime festivals. They have several stores in Korea. There are literally like huge. The light novel section of my favorite Korean bookstore in South Korea is larger than all the other sections combined. The second most studied foreign language after English. I don't know if it's changed recently. It might be Chinese now. It used to be Japanese. Like, Korea themselves, domestic Koreans are absolutely aware of like the interplay between J-pop and K-pop. Like when Namjoon retired, there was a lot of basically a lot of people came out of the woodwork to be like, "Oh, Namjoon is the best. Like she inspired BoA."
Oh my God. I just think of like all of those like netizens coming out and literally ripping Hyori to shreds, being like, look at this time she copied Namie. Look at this time she copied Namie. Look at this time she copied Namie.
Like literally for BoA, it was a lot more polite. It was a lot more like, "Oh, look, like, she's just referencing her idol, right?"
Whereas just like with Hyori, it's like they're the same age. So it's like blatant ripping off. It's not like you look up to her. It's like, no, you're literally copying her because you're the same age.
Well, I mean, Hyori also debuted like 10 years after her.
Yeah, but they're still like the same age. So it's kind of just like
Nah,
it's a
age doesn't matter. Age doesn't matter. It's a like when did you debut thing.
Well, it wasn't really 10 years. It's maybe more like 5. Because what?
Was it?
Because Hyori was in her girl group.
Yeah, but Finkel doesn't really debut until like 97.
Yeah, and Namie debuted in what, 93?
No, like way early. 92, 91.
I think
Okay,
like.
so 5 years. But yeah, even then, like, you kind of have to realize that there's no reason to say, oh, only this one group paved the entire way. That is ridiculous. They got their ideas from somewhere.
Well, someone that needs to go somewhere is Masahiko Kondo because it was
What is he
revealed.
doing?
Another woman that is not his wife. That's what he's doing.
Ugh.
So basically, it came out in November that he has been cheating on his wife of 26 years for the past 5 years. Because he was spotted on vacation with the woman golfing. And so people were just like, oh, there's various shots of him with this mystery woman. They're golfing, they're visiting a hotel. This is all happening in Okinawa, by the way.
In the middle of a COVID pandemic,
Well, that too, but
just so
there's,
that people are aware.
hey, go to travel. So, you know, that's a thing.
It.
So basically, people were mad about this, but then it also went and made people remember the Akina Nakamori story, which basically was him. So Machi and Akina were dating, and they were seen as like the ideal 80s couple. And then she attempted suicide in his home when she found out that he had been cheating on her for 3 years.
With you're forgetting the most salacious part.
With allegedly Seiko Matsuda. Allegedly.
Who was her biggest rival?
Yes. And then, so basically, they held a press conference after she healed, and they had a gold screen. And for those who do not know, a gold screen is basically when you have a press conference with a gold screen, it basically means just like, this is your engagement press conference. So basically, they tricked her into thinking she was going to get engaged, I mean, be proposed to, or she was getting married to Machi. But really, what they did was they made her apologize for it, for everything that, for causing all the trouble that she caused. And This is also one of the reasons why Mary Kitagawa, Johnny's sister, is so hated, because she's the one that actually arranged the press conference.
Oh, and
Because
by the way, Machi actually co-owns part of Johnny's Entertainment now.
Johnny's is like the eldest son. Like, he debuted in 1980. He's been with the company for 40 years. This is his 40 this year since we his 40th anniversary. And then so like he's been with the company for so long. And they're kind of just like, well, what is he gonna do? So the funny thing is that the day after the story came out, he was announced to be performing on FNS Kaiosai. And people were just like, wait, like you just cheated on your wife, and now you're gonna be on here celebrating your 40th anniversary. Well, for those of you that watched the show, he was not on the show because a couple of days later it came out and said that he was going to indefinitely suspend his performing activities. I mean, like, nobody wanted to see him anyway. He's like universally reviled. Like, I remember,
At
like,
this
whenever,
point, yeah.
even before this point, because I remember, like, when people, I remember when he had like an anniversary, I think it was like his 35th or 30th anniversary. Like,
At the Johnny countdown, I'm thinking at the same exact
yes.
moment.
And like, the thing is, though, is that all the Johnny's fans of like the current Johnny's
We're
acts,
so
they were like,
mad.
fuck. So
Please.
basically, we have to sit through this tribute for this old man. I want to see Heisei Jump. I want to see Arashi. I want to see Kanjani 8. I want to see Sexy Zone. And
I
I had to sit here and watch this old grandpa dance around on stage and sing his songs that like my mom listened to when she was a kid. No, I didn't pay this money for this. So
People were
yeah,
so mad.
nobody cares about Masahiko Kondo. So him like saying he's no longer gonna be like performing, it's like a non-issue because no one cares. It's kind of like good riddance.
Yep. And it just says a lot about Johnny's. Like, if you had a tribute concert today for any Johnny's act that is not SMAP or Arashi, it's really sad, but nobody would care. Like, musically, none of them are have musical hits. The only reason why people care about Johnny's is because of their talento status, not because of their like music. Nobody gives a fuck about their music.
Yeah, like there was like one of the things that came out with like the Nikkei Entertainment thing was the fact that people always be just like, why is Tokyo ranked so high?
Yeah.
Like why is like Nagase Tomoya so high? Like, why is he so famous? And it's like, it's not because of his songs, it's because he's on TV every day in Tokyo.
And people love him on TV, right?
So it's just like, but speaking of Johnny's, we're gonna keep it in the family and we're gonna go down to the next generation of Johnny's. Well, not really, because this person is a woman and not a woman. We're gonna make that clear. She's not a woman. She's a girl. This is a girl. So therefore, she cannot be a Johnny. We are talking about Koki, who is the daughter of Kimura Takuya and Kudo Shizuka. And in November, she was revealed to be the cover star for the January 2021 issue of Elle Japan. And it basically was a photo shoot that featured her half naked, even though
Yep.
she's 17 years old. So the front cover is like just like her like in a jacket, perfectly fine. Then like the next photo is like her wearing a pair of pants and nothing else, holding a Louis Vuitton bag over her breast. Then another one is like her and like a lacy like nightie like kind of like with her hip cocked to the side, showing the profile of her butt. Another photo is her wearing like jeans, which are unbuttoned with like an open vest with nothing on underneath the vest, where you can see like the inner part of her breasts. And the next one is her wearing like a kind of like long sleeve bodysuit that's like doesn't have legs. And she's kind of like has her hip poked out again, but she's standing in front of multiple mirrors where you can see her ass at different angles
And
with
this is
with
also
her butt hanging
when,
out a little.
yeah, like when Ronald sent me this, I was like, Ronald, are you trying to get me on FBI watch list?
And I'm just like, no, it's just a fashion magazine from Japan.
And I'm just like, the FBI don't care.
So the main issue here is that this girl is 17 years old, and like, so the powers that be at the magazine, they tried to make it seem like it was some nice sisterly photo shoot because of the fact that like her sister Coco Mi shot the shot did the photographs, which is up for debate if she really did it or not. Maybe they placed a camera in her hand for the behind the scenes photos, but who knows? So the thing that killed me about this was that people were just like, where are her parents in all of this? And I go to Cookie's Instagram and I click on like the photo shoot, and the first thing I see, Kudo Shizuka liked this photo. Well, there you go. Her mom approves. Her mom even liked the photos on Instagram. And it just brought me back to what Brett said about Shizuka during the second part of our Female Soloist podcast, where he was just like, Shizuka loves attention. Shizuka loves to be hated. To Shizuka, all press is good press. And that goes on down to her kids too, where it's kind of just like, oh, my 17-year-old daughter is like half naked in a photo shoot. Well, they're talking about her, so that's good.
Yep.
And then the one thing that like really annoyed me about this is people coming in and saying just like they're making these like false equivalencies, and they're just like, well, you guys don't say anything about when like underage girls who are idols do photo shoots like this. And I'm just like, okay, first of all, there's a big difference between, first of all, that is wrong. That's the first thing, is that underage girls doing anything sexual like this is wrong. Second of all, I have spoken out about this, which is one of the reasons why I hated the idol industry for a very long time. The third thing is that there is a big difference between Koki and Elle Magazine, so somebody who has millions of followers on Instagram and is in a mainstream, internationally distributed fashion magazine. Like I could go to like any major bookstore in New York or LA and pick up this magazine if I wanted to. Versus like people talking about some like damn weekly Playboy that is only available in Japan featuring some unknown person.
And
Like there's a difference.
there's also a sense of consent. Like when you become an idol, you understand some of the work that they do, and you actually have a choice. They give you a choice. They tell you, do you want to do this sort of shoot? And you can say no. There is the option to say no. We actually have no idea if Koki was able to say no.
Because this brought, I remember when I showed this to you, you said it reminded you of a situation that with Kiko Mizuhara.
Yeah. And for those of you who don't know, Mizuhara actually spoke out a couple of years ago. Was it a couple of years ago or was it recently? I don't
It was
remember, but.
this year. It was this. She spoke about the photo shoot happened a couple of years ago, but she only spoke about it this year because I think it came about after that one Japanese female journalist who was raped by her boss in the
Ito Shiori,
US.
yeah.
Yeah, I think that after that incident, she felt that she should come forward and talk about her experience with sexual harassment in the workplace as well.
And I actually really admire Mizuhara a lot more for speaking out, because she was actually speaking out against Shiseido, which is like one of the biggest cosmetics conglomerates and probably has one of the most lucrative advertising contracts for any model to have. It was really sad because she was talking about how she was doing a photo shoot, which, you know, it happens. And this was a nude photo shoot, which also probably just happens. But as they were taking the photos, all of the executives of Shiseido, these middle-aged men basically, came down to just watch her shoot in the nude for no reason.
Like, there's a difference between like doing a new photo shoot, which she consents to, and her like knowing just like, oh yeah, the photographer's assistants, makeup, hair, the stylists are all gonna be there. Like, those are people who need to be there, who she's comfortable, who she previously knows. These people are gonna see me naked, versus just like, oh, the executive board's gonna come down and like look at me too. Like, that was something she didn't know was gonna happen. So that's a big difference.
And it's really important in these sense, in these kinds of photo shoots, to have a sense of trust, because you are ultimately consenting for someone to use your photos, your likeness in some other product, right? So you need to have trust that they are actually going to take care of your photo and not use it in some like weird, disgusting way. That's really, really important. And I'm just not sure if like that same amount of trust was given to Koki. Was she? I mean, sure, her parents are fine with it, but really?
I mean, we know her mom is fine with it, but we don't know what her dad feels about it.
I don't think he's ever going to say anything against his wife, to be quite frank.
Because let's be real. Let's think back to when SMAP was breaking up. What is one of the main reasons why he stayed with Johnny and Associates?
He slept with, was it Julie?
No, that's not the reason why I was thinking of.
I mean, they went on a vacation together in Hawaii
Oh,
for several days.
I'm pretty sure like Shizuka completely knew about that. But what I was going to say
Yeah.
is that pretty much like the big story that came out was that Shizuka said, "You are not leaving the company. When you got me pregnant, who stood by us and let you marry me? The company."
Yeah, she is
So
so
you are
terrifying.
not leaving the company. I don't care what those other guys say. You are not going to fuck this up, okay? I can imagine her like literally saying that to him and him being just like, okay, I'll stay. But so moving on to our la when our next topic is year-end shows. So basically
Iran.
there are two big shows that happen on the last 2 days of the year. On December 30th, we have the Japan Record Awards. And so we're going to go through the nominees real quick. And I'm going to ask Hannah who she thinks is going to win. So just so you guys know, due to COVID, I presume, this was a bit of a shorter list than usual. Like this is going to be like a smaller award show. So the big prize is Song of the Year. So the nominees are Daichi Miura, I'm Here; Junretsu, I Will Kudasai, Don't You Cry; Christian Pop Queen's Little Glee Monster with Asiato; Eitel with Kusui. I'm confused why that's there because that came out last year. Nokizaka 46, Sakaiju no Renjinyo; Dish, Neko, the first take version. So
Which makes sense.
the first take is in there getting that little bit of promo right there, not as if they need it. AKB 48, Hanarete Itemo; Hikawa Kiyoshi, Haha; the Pump Fantasista and Lisa Homura.
Okay, so are we going to talk about what I think deserves it?
Or who do you think deserves, like, who would you pick, and then who do you think is going to win?
So personally, I actually think it would be a good toss-up between Kosui, Neko, and Homura, because all three of them were, like, really, really big songs, right?
And so because they're big songs, they will not win. So who do you think is going to really win?
I mean, come on, we all know LDH and Rising love to pay for this award. So Daichi's going to win.
Or it could be Da Pump.
Yeah, it's either going to be Da Pump or Daichi because they like paying for the award. And we saw the scandal.
So who do I think should win this? I would say, first of all, I will say that, like, this list is missing several songs I would have put in, but this isn't
reality. I mean,
This isn't reality. Like, I'm just like, where is Yoasobi? Where's King Nu? Yeah.
I mean, Yoasobi would deserve it the moment they get nominated. You're just like,
where's Imyeon? So basically, person I think that does deserve it would be between Eito and Lisa. The person who I see winning it, I think it's between Little Glee Monster, Daichi Miura, and Hikawa Kiyoshi.
Yeah, I see that.
I always include him because it's kind of just like, he's always a safe choice. When in doubt, just pick him.
But he came out as Envy, though.
Yeah, I was about to say that. I was like, when in doubt, pick them.
Hee-chan, yeah.
Yes, for those who do not know, I don't think we covered that. Maybe we did in an
episode.
We
did it. So this is actually a really, really big announcement, which is great.
It happened,
it's like, one of the best things
ever. Not this
month,
but like recently, but like him, Hikawa Kiyoshi, did come out as
non-binary. Third gender. Yeah.
So my mistake, I said him when I really should have said them.
Hee-chan, I will always support you.
And then for best new artist, it is between Sonata Naoki, Novel Bright, Mameshiba no Taigun, and Renee. Okay, so I'm going to say between this, I'm going to give it to Novel Bright or Renee, because I actually have heard of them.
But, I personally would have said Renee too.
But the one group who I'm guessing is an idol group. Let me Google them. Yep, they are an idol group. Are they a Hello Project group? Because if they are, that means they're automatically going to win.
I don't think they are.
They are not. They are actually part of WAC.
Oh, then they're probably going to win.
Yeah, so that settles that.
So for those of you who are unaware, the best new artist usually gets bought out, and order.
So the thing is, though, I remember like 1 year someone actually caught it and they were just like, wait a minute, I love how this award, which a Hello Project group won, is actually sponsored by the company.
Yeah, like on the credits, you know how on Japanese programs they always say like, oh, this TV show is thanks in part to blah blah blah. They actually listed Hello Projects on the credits page.
So it's just like, yeah. But I never really liked the Japan Record Awards because I'm just like, first of all, I'm a person that like would rather have like a Japanese Grammys rather than this, because I think the Japan Record Awards are just like a
They're
mess
so fake.
Of a show.
Yeah, they're so fake.
Because like I remember like one time someone said to me just like, well, so and so, that wasn't really a hit this year. And I'm just like, those IU songs, that one, those weren't really that big of a hit. Dearest, Voyage, and No Way to Say, those were not the biggest hits of those years.
Yeah, I mean, like, they were good songs, but, like, I wouldn't call
Kodakumi
them number one.
won for Butterfly. No one remembers that song.
I remember that part of the song.
Kodakumi has one song, and it's Aino Uta.
Yeah.
Let's be real.
Okay, I remember other songs.
I will say though, like back when, like, because this also used to be known as like an AVEX award, because like
All the AVEX groups won it.
looking at this from 95 till now. So from 95 till now, one, two, three. So basically, okay, 95, TRF, Overnight Sensation. 96, Namie, Don't Wanna Cry. 97, Namie, Can You Celebrate? 98, Globe, Wanna Be a Dreammaker. Then you had IVEX, I don't know what I just said. Then you had AVEX again for IU for Dearest, Voyage, and No Way to Say, 2001 and 2003. Kodakumi for Butterfly in 2004. And then you jump to EXILE for Te Amo, Someday, I Wish for You, 2008 to 2010. Then you have EXILE again for EXILE Pride in 2013. Then you have 3JSB for Ryusei and the year the scandal broke and they won anyway with the most fittingly titled song, which no one has ever heard before, Unfair World.
I mean, you have
Who
to give them
remembers
credit
that
for
song?
irony. I
Nobody
don't.
remembers that song. So it's just like what is this song? Like I'm like looking back then that now and I'm just like, I don't remember that song. And then like the Best New Artist Award is pretty much like the same crock of shit because
Yeah,
basically
it's literally like random artist, random artist. Hello Project, Hello Project, Hello Project. And then every once in a while, there's like a K-pop group.
Oh, but we're gonna go through like a little bit of history, because like oftentimes there's someone that's like much bigger that loses, and it's kind
Oh,
of just
yeah.
like why?
Because they can.
So looking back, on these, I'm just gonna start from the ninth. Actually, let's go back to the 80s. Oh, Tohara Toshihiko won in 1980. I think that was well deserved. Wait, was it? Actually, I take that back. It wasn't that well deserved. Like I like his songs, but for example, in 1980, Tohara Toshihiko beat Seiko. just like scrolling through different years. The Goodbye, which was a Johnny's band, they beat Sawada Kenji, Mori Shinichi, and Yoshiro Aki. Okay, 1985, that was well deserved. That was Nakayama Miho. So like, yeah, that was she beat
I mean,
not
you're a Miho.
she beat a Honda Minako for that. Okay, 86, that was well deserved because Shonen Tai won. I'm being very biased here. I admit that. 88, Otokogumi, which was another Johnny's band, like this point where Johnny's decided they wanted to have rock bands, they beat Bucktick. Okay, someone named Mike in 1991, they beat Makihara Noriyuki and Mizuki Arisa.
You have to really say, like, they don't hide it that well. And I guess they've never even tried.
In 92, someone named Ono Masatoshi beat Oguro Maki and Takahashi Yoko. 95, Tomomi Kahara lost to Miyama Junko. In 96, 96 was actually, I do just think 96 was deserved because Puffy beat Speed and DOS. DOS, for everyone that doesn't know, is like one of my favorite Avex acts. It's when TK decided he wanted to have his own Japanese TLC. Morning Musume beat Ami Suzuki in 98.
Okay, that one makes sense.
Just like looking through. Like, see if there's any other like messy years. There's not that many messy years. Big Bang beats Scandal in Hill Crime. I don't know about that. Oh.
Scandal, yes. Hill Crime,
Well, Hill Crime actually had like digital hits.
No, that's what I mean. Where, like, yeah, Big Bang is definitely bigger than Scandal, but Hill Crime was definitely bigger than Big Bang in Japan.
Okay, 2010 was a year that pissed me off because Smilage was beat by, okay, Smilage won over Girls' Generation and Iconique.
I mean, over Iconic, yeah. But Girls' Generation, really? I love Smilage. Just so that everyone is aware, I love Smilage. I actually think Angry Me, like Angry German, has the best discography in Hello Project to date. It is very consistent, but they are not larger than Girls' Generation.
2001, I mean 2011, that was deserved because 2NE1 are flops in Japan. Actually, 2013 was a year a Hello Project group lost because Juice Equals Juice lost to Shinzato Kota, whoever that is, probably an Inka singer. Oh my God, the violent person that is Nishiyuki Maria, she beat Ohara Sakuriko.
Which is so funny in hindsight.
Because she's on Rising. After she
Oh,
like, didn't she like beat like her,
she beat the CEO.
she beat up the
Or something.
CEO because he wasn't giving her like any kind of like activities.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I can't beat boys and men. I remember like Icon, no one even knows who you are in Japan. Okay, so like that basically just shows a little history of that. And now we're gonna go to the Big Kahuna show. I guess ew, I just said Big Kahuna like I'm 70. The Kohaku Uzuka Sen, the 71st episode, episode not episode, 71st one, let's just say that. That was announced and debuts this year. I'm about to get okay. I have never defended somebody so much in my life than I did when Juju was announced to be debuting on Kohaku. Because I personally believe Juju should have been on a decade ago.
I mean, I do too. I just don't think she should be on now.
So, I'm gonna like say the crude reason why some people think that Juju's on.
Which is the real reason.
So, some people think that Juju's on Kohaku this year due to the fact that she hosted an NHK show with the late Miura Haruma, and that
And they're
him,
probably going to have a tribute. And it's on NHK.
and that she is basically there in tribute to him. And I'm just like, ew, I don't like that.
You don't like it, but you kind of have to deal with it because it's the truth.
And then some people were talking, this one over here, Hannah, my co-host, called Juju a one-hit wonder. And I'm just like, since when do one-hit wonders have 5 million selling digital singles?
In the same way that AKB is also a one-hit wonder and has like several million digital hit singles, but
I wouldn't call
nobody
them
remembers
one-hit
them.
wonders.
Nobody remembers them anymore.
Oh, please. Other debuts. It's not really a debut. It's more just like a name change. Sakura Zaka
Yep.
46 is replacing Kiyaki Zaka 46. Tokyo GN. They're only there because Ringo needed to be on, and Ringo didn't release anything solo this year. Baby Metal. I have no idea why they're on.
I love Baby Metal. I literally have no fucking clue.
Millet. I don't know why Millet is on.
Millet makes sense though, because she's the only one of like the really, really big stars this year that
Big,
is
she's not a
willing
big
to go.
star.
She's not a big star, but like she's like the poor man's like YOASOBI or something.
And when I saw this group said they were going to debut, and I didn't see someone else's name listed. Actually, when I didn't see two names listed, and I saw this group's name listed, I was like, Ronald, you really did it this time. You really did know what was going to go down. Niju is debuting Kohaku, but guess who was dropped twice?
Twice.
Twice replaced is confirmed. For everyone that doubted me this summer when they debuted, it is confirmed.
Hey, I was on your side.
You were, but there are some Twice fans out there who are in denial. And sorry, but like Twice is replaced. And the other group that is no longer on Kohaku is AKB48, which I was just like, that should have happened years ago. Hannah also agrees.
To be honest, I actually think what happened was AKB should have been dropped a million years ago, but this year the company probably offered and instead was like, hey, you guys should have all the 46s on. And Kohaku was like, sure, why not?
So going over to the men's side now, the debuts are Eito, Stones, Snowman,
100% behind the boys list. Mm-hmm.
and then debuting but not competing is Green, who should have been on before, just
Like decades ago.
like the same time as Juju, basically, if not sooner.
Yep.
So, people that were dropped this year, I think the biggest droppings makes them sound like poop, but I mean, if it fits, the biggest drops this year probably are AKB48 and Twice, with AKB48 being the bigger one because of the fact that just like they've been around for so long. But you know, when you start doing medleys at Kohaku because you don't really have anything relevant to bring to the table for the year
But
that's
you're
happening.
singing Koi Pseudo Fortune Cookie for the seventh fucking time at Kohaku. It's time to leave.
That's how I knew that IU was gonna get dropped. I'm just like, ooh, really? Medleys? Medleys.
Yeah.
You can't bring anything new to the table. I say this as I look at like Sayori Ishikawa, who's like singing songs from like 1979 for like the fifth time. Like the same song, it's like sixth appearance at Kohaku. I would love it if she just said, just like from now on, I'm just gonna do like anniversary songs. Like, I'm gonna do the song that came out 40 years ago for its 40th anniversary. This song came out 20 years ago. I remember the year, I remember like being so like hopeful that she was gonna do her Sheena Ringo song that she the album that came out that year that she, I think it was like 2015.
I
She.
think I really like that song too. So I remember that song very distinctly.
I remember being just like, oh my God, maybe she'll do her Sheena Ringo song. And then, like, one of her fans, like, I didn't know Sayori Ishikawa had international fans. I didn't know there were international Inka fans, but apparently they exist. And
Hey.
they were just like, no, she's gonna do like a song that's like 35 years old. And sure enough, she did. But I remember like loving that song, much to the chagrin of like a lot of Ringo fans, because I was just like, you guys do not see that this is basically Ringo giving you a glimpse of 20 years into the future when she's an Inca singer.
Yeah, but it was also a great song.
It
It
was.
was a great song. I loved it. It felt like an Enka Bond theme.
Oh God. If I hear Ringo and Bond theme one more time, because that is like the one thing I will
It's
always
true.
say. So what do you think of this year's Kohaku lineup?
I think the guys sign, I have never agreed with the guys lineup as much as I did this year. In terms of like who they added. I mean, granted, it's probably also because the Johnny's debuts this year were just super strong, right? They are relevant in ways that Johnny's has not been for like 20 years.
So basically, what you're saying is that men rule, women's rule.
Yeah, for this year. For this year for sure,
And
right?
now, and I'm the same person that's like trying to fight off comments from Brazilian J-pop fans talking about how I'm a sexist machista.
But like it's true. Like literally right now you have Lisa duking it with fucking BTS trying to fight for number one in Japan.
Oh, by the way, this is also the first year, and I don't know how many years, where Johnny is not hosting the show.
It's also really funny because they actually dropped the entirety of the anime corner. You just have
Lisa's
Lisa
on.
now. No, but you don't have the entire corner that they used to have.
Hannah, you know how Kohaku is. I wouldn't be surprised if they add, and if they ended up adding about six more acts between now and the actual show.
It's definitely going to happen. But yeah, like, I also agree with like Niju being added. 100% makes sense. Sakurazaka 46, no. I actually don't really agree with that one. I'm just like, why the hell are you on? Like, Nobody Knows debuted, and it's not even in the top 100 iTunes streaming list. That's how bad it is, right?
Oh
That's
my
never
God.
happened with a Keaki Zaka release, just so you know.
Well, was there anything, any other little bits of drama that happened for you in November, Hannah?
I have to say, November was full of much drama within the VTuber land. But the bigger thing to note is that the better Kohaku, the Momoiro Clover one,
Oh,
announced
the
their
act that
lineup.
got dropped.
Yeah, like 15 years ago, anyways. They had a really good lineup announced. And honestly, I'm probably going to watch that one. It has Hitmic on it. It has like Riol on it. Like, it's actually a pretty legit list.
Well, while Hannah's watching that, I'm sure everyone knows by now that we will be streaming the Japan Record Awards and also Kohaku Uzukasen, as well as Johnny's Countdown when they
Okay.
air. Johnny's Countdown, I really do enjoy watching it.
You're not even a closet Johnny fan at this point.
I'm sorry, but like, I like Johnny's, some of them.
Most of them.
It reminded me, oh my God, you know what I'm thinking of? I'm thinking of the thing that Tim translated a few weeks ago of like the gay stereotypes for
Oh.
music fans.
Oh yeah.
Let me see if I can find that real quick because, like, I didn't share this in open
So
person
while Ronald
and I
is
completely
searching for
forgot to
it,
do that.
one of our Twitter oomps,
He was a
Twitter
guest on the
mutuals.
show.
Yep, he was a guest on the show a couple weeks back, a couple months ago, and he actually retweeted this hilarious picture, which was basically a depiction of every type of gay in Japan by the type of music they're really into. And it was just hysterical. You guys all have to go find it. Did you find it yet?
I did find it.
Oh my God. So, what's the Johnny's type?
Okay, so Johnny's Entertainment, hardcore and casuals live in totally different worlds. Hardcore fans will never upload a face reveal and go to concerts alone. Their most used emoji is like the upraised eyebrows, and from appearance, they all look like straight guys. This is not a compliment. Generally not active in the gay community, goes to cruising venues for hookups. There are so many casual fans, and I honestly have nothing to say about them. It would seem that gay guys are surprisingly frequent listeners of Johnny's. Yeah, apparently. This isn't really related to the Johnny fandom, but sometimes people complain about Johnny's being full of skinny, gross-looking, ugly guys. No, you're the gross-looking, ugly one, and hefty to boot.
And that is exactly you. By the way, Ronald is a casual type, just so you guys know.
And then right underneath that is Namie. Almost all gay guys love Namie Amuro, so I have nothing to
That's
say
not
here.
true.
Gay guys just really love her. If you know anyone who doesn't, they're probably straight.
Ronald, are you straight?
No, I actually do like Namie's one of my most played artists. I just don't like anything like really past the TK era.
Okay. That dude should have rewritten it to say, this includes the past TK era.
So basically, there's other ones. There's Mika Nakashima gaze, there's Bish gaze, there's the Vyovachi Queen Bee gaze.
You should read the anime gaze just for me.
There's Kyoku. There's the oh my God, I can't speak right now. The TK family gaze.
Which you are.
Oh my God, no, I'm not.
You are a TK
The
gay.
top one is no one can sing these days. That's completely false. Anime songs. So I'll read that for Hannah. Lots of friends, frequently goes drinking in groups of about 10, good at social media, high follower count, foul-mouthed on Twitter, constantly criticizing something or other, will leave comments on pictures like the above, complaining about characters that are missing. Black rimmed glasses, chubby. Imagine Daru from Steins Gate, but with short hair. Loves group play. Will readily sleep with friends. Really loves the cheap underwear from Don Quixote.
Okay, so with like two or three misses, that is mostly correct. I definitely don't have a high follower account though.
And then there is some other ones too. There's the Hello Project gaze, the Aiko gaze.
You
What's the
should
top?
read the Aiko gaze because
Okay.
that's like the other half of Hack Twitter that we never talk about.
Aiko gaze. And so the thing is, though, is that when Tim posted this, I went and wrote underneath. I was just like, I'm thinking it back on the on when you were on the podcast and you said, you whispered like, love Aiko. And I'm just like, the top thing for Aiko gaze is emotionally unstable.
This is a problem because the episode where Tim K and I were like all talking about how much we like Aiko.
Emotionally unstable. After they sleep with someone one time, they usually fall in love with them straight away. Most of their tweets are cries for attention. They post a lot of selfies that look like they're not putting a lot of effort into them, but they really are staged. Not ugly, but not particularly handsome. If you were to think of it like a school hierarchy, they're the absolute average. Loves to drink, but also quick to get sick. Almost all of them are bottoms. Aiko fans who are tops are more or less extinct. Perfume gaze. Oh, Sheena Ringo gaze.
I mean, are you not?
Sheena Ringo gays, here we go. I like to think of themselves as being alternative, but aren't really that edgy in reality. Almost all of them are pretty vanilla.
I guess your guess really vanilla.
Own a reflex camera and update their social media with pictures of the sky and cityscapes. Makes a lot of noise about not having any sex appeal, but actually has no problem in getting some. Fairly good looking, so finding people to sleep with them is never a problem. However, 90% of them are small downstairs and reach climax straight away. Recommend it for novice bottoms. Avex gays, I guess I should read that. Lots of hot guys, also lots of stupid guys, really into brand goods, will insta block you if you badmouth their faves or call them outdated. Oh my God, that is true. Because
That's like.
one thing Tim was saying is that it's funny how the stereotypes of the fan groups in Japan really does carry over internationally.
Oh, for real?
Will insta block you if you badmouth their faves or call them outdated. Then they'll publicly post to tell everyone they blocked you. The amount of times they update their insta story is ridiculous. Have a limited vocabulary, so they're not really good at using Twitter. Sex technique is average at best, but at least they're well endowed. The K-pop one was interesting. High self-esteem, gets picked on a lot, doesn't give compliments easily. Is always queening out, which they take pride in. Have perfected the art of form of speaking with your hands. Dance skill is everything. Completely defenseless in the face of someone who can dance better than them. Most of them are tops with good hip control thanks to dancing. You can look forward to very technical sex when you are with a K-pop fan. Treat dating the same way they treat their wardrobe, so relationships never really last for long. J-Rock, this one was funny. Takes pride in the fact that they don't listen to the same music as the other homos. Loud mouth will gleefully invade your personal space. Do not let them near any gay person who is in a band. Unnaturally contrary. Has good features, but their fashion sense is a minus. Bad at sex, but has convinced themselves that they are experts. Poor attitude. Also, their breath smells.
I mean, like, that's true of rock fans in general, I feel like. Seeking asshole.
And then like randomly, Max, handsome, great personalities, complete package, excellent at sex. There's nothing to criticize. If you're gonna date someone, make it a Max fan.
I mean,
So
clearly, this person is biased.
this person is clearly like a Nami Amoru and Super Monkeys fan.
Yep.
Because for those who do not know your J-pop history, Nami Amoru and Super Monkeys actually it was Super Monkeys. Then it became Nami Amoru and Super Monkeys, and then
Yep.
she went solo, and Super Monkeys became Max.
And so they are very, very big 90s J-pop fans.
So that was that little bit. I'm like surprised I didn't post this on Open Post. I mean, like that was like it literally like had like my timeline laughing it up because most of them are hag Twitter people. So they're just like, oh yeah, that's a very complimentary. And then people looked at me, the Sheena Ringo gay,
Yes.
which reminded me today. Tim was just like, oh, Ronald, I thought of you. Because there was some like gay on Twitter who was very happy to see Tokyo Jien and Juju. I'm like, yeah, that's me.
You guys are just destined to be together. That's what this means.
Who?
You and the other one Juju fan that still exists in this world.
Hannah, on that note, what are your favorites this month?
So, this month was a pretty good month. I'd have to like really revisit what was released though, because I don't remember it exactly off the top of my head. I have to say, JO1's Star album was released last month. That was pretty excellent.
My issue with that album is that basically you heard everything on there except for Shine a Light and like one other song.
While true, they were still really good. And the Femme Fatale idol album was fantastic. Everyone should go and spin that thing like 50 times because it was excellent.
Okay. So I guess it's my turn now. So I had a set of releases. It was a dual release that I was waiting for all month since it was announced. And then when the track list came out, I was just like,
The Milia cover.
you really did it, girl. Milia's cover albums, Sister Wife Milia.
Yes, Sister
For
Wife Milia.
those who do not know, by the time this is released, you will know everything what I mean by Sister Wife Milia. So Milia released a set of cover albums called Covers, Man and Woman, two separate CDs. And basically, it had something for everybody. Like the Hag fans were kind of like in shock over the track list for the woman side, which included Sheena Ringo, Utada Hikaru, Nami Amuro, Felia Aoyama, Mika Nakashima, Kota Kumi, and Coco. And then I got excited over the men's side because,
You're a meninist.
well, it was two songs I was really, well, like I didn't like all the songs on the men's side, but there was two songs I was really, really, really wanting to hear. So one was Fishman's Ikareta Baby. I really wanted to hear that. But the one I wanted to hear more than anything on either one of these CDs was her cover of Fujikaze's Yasashisa. One of my favorite songs of the year, and obviously one of Milia's favorite songs this year. Milia is a very big supporter of Kaze. Like she's always like liking his performances and tweets on Instagram. By the way, if you do not follow Fujikaze on Instagram, I think you should because of the fact that just like he literally uses his Instagram just to speak English. He speaks English. He's learning English. He speaks English. I like his English because his English is kind of like
He's learning, but he's trying.
I'm not making fun of his English, but like his English sounds like he's drunk.
He's trying.
Because he's like, hey, yo, my name is Fujikaze, and I'm from this little small place in Japan called Okayama. I'm like, he sounds wasted when he speaks English. Like completely decipherable, but like he's wasted. But yeah, the CD came out. Some people were not feeling the female CD because they literally expected straight up covers, like straight up just like same arrangement and everything. But I will say, Mika's cover, I mean, not, oh my God, I can't even speak right now. Milia's cover of Mika Stars, where like she turned it into just like a bassy, slow R&B song. Oh my God, I loved it. I loved it.
For those of you who have not listened to it, you absolutely should, because even I really, really liked it. Like, personally, I actually like the female side more, but that's probably because I recognized more of the songs. Both CDs were actually really good.
But the absolute best song, as I expected it to be, is the cover of Yashisisa.
Biased. Biased much?
Oh, I love that song so much. Like, it's definitely gonna be in my top 10 songs of the year. By the way, guys, I did give Oomph. Oomph was doing a special project for top 10 songs, and I did do my top 10 songs list. Like, it was due the 5th of December. I've never done my list so early, but I feel as if that perhaps could change because, like, there are still a bunch of things coming out in December, which may change it. But I feel like the song list is gonna be pretty, like, firm. The album list may change. I didn't do the album list yet, but it's coming. But, like, oh, like, Yasushisa is just such a good song, like Kaze's version, Milia's version. But one thing I did note about these cover albums is that Milia did, on the men's side, she did two songs from this year, which would be the Kaze song. And then she also did King Gnu's Teenage Forever. Oh, I didn't say who she did on the men's side. So on the men's side, she did King Gnu, her like GBF, Shota Shimizu, Rad Wimps, Gangnam Boys, Fishmans, Dragon Ash, and Ozaki Yutaka. So, I was looking more forward to the men's side because, you know, bias for reasons. But it was overall like a really good album. And but one thing I did notice is that she did two songs from this year on the men's album, but the oldest song, the newest song that she has on the women's album is from 2008, which will be Thelma's Sobeni Irune. So
A classic.
I'm just like, so did female soloists basically die in Milia's head in 2008? Meanwhile, men are still going.
Just like you and Hack Twitter say.
Oh my God. I'm Milia has the mind of a mastermind. It's amazing. So, I would say go listen to Milia's cover albums. Listen to all of Milia's discography because it's now on Spotify if you haven't already heard it.
Da-dun.
But also too, one thing I'm realizing looking at the comments for Milia's cover album is someone asks, why does nobody ever cover IU?
I think I've seen one person cover IU like ever.
Because you would look at this and you're just like Utada, Namie, Coda, even have like Ringo and Thelma and Mika and
And
Coco.
Mika.
But no IU. Poor IU. Maybe one day someone will like one of her songs enough to sing it themselves.
Someday.
But I think that brings this episode to a close. So any parting words, Hannah?
So definitely look forward to December. Never make your year-end list too early, ladies and gents, because December is jam-packed.
Yeah, like I always been like the very, I always feel like I'm literally rushing to post my like end of year list, like in the couple of hours of sleep I get between like the end of Johnny's Countdown slash the middle of me watching Countdown TV and me like waking up to get ready to go where I'm going for New Year's. But this year that may be different. One, because I did my list early, and two, because I probably will be at home on New Year's because we are currently in a pandemic.
Yes, stay safe, everyone.
Everyone, stay safe. And oh, happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
So
Celebrate distancing.
we will talk to you guys next time, and good night.
Good night.